This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
The temporary worker program I am proposing today represents the best tradition of our society, a society that honors the law and welcomes the newcomer. This plan will help return order and fairness to our immigration system, and in so doing, we will honor our values by showing our respect for those who work hard and share in the ideals of America.
President Bush speaking Wednesday at the White House, unveiling a plan to make it easier for foreign workers to work legally in the United States. Joining us to review the week's news is our senior news analyst here at NPR, Dan Shore. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Scott.
And what exactly do you notice about this proposal?
Well, to put it in its simplest terms, what it says is there, you know, there are 8 to 12 million illegal immigrants in the United States. The larger part of them are Mexican. They have a great deal of difficulty. And what the president says is, this is what we'll do for you. You get a job. You can work for 3 years. At the end of 3 years, maybe they'll be renewed. We don't know for how long. You will never get to be a citizen that way. You will never get a green card that way. But we'll introduce a little bit of regularity in your lives.
Mm-hmm. President talked about they won't have to live in fear of la migra, as many migrant groups obviously refer to them, Spanish-speaking and otherwise.
That's
of immigration
right.
Police and being taken from their homes, and they'll qualify for Social Security and medical benefits, too.
That's right. That's right. And that's what's so interesting about this, is that why this is a very great deal for America's employers. They are able to hire people and leave it to the federal government to take care of their social and health needs. So that's pretty good for them. Also, what happens is that it's become a kind of a form of indentured servitude. You've got to stay on good terms with your employer or you get kicked out. And that gives a lot of power to employers.
Mm-hmm. Democrats had talked for some time, and people, I guess, in both parties, depending on their state, about immigration reform. Is this the kind of proposal, extensive as it is, that Republicans are, for a lot of practical reasons, political reasons, in the best position to bring about?
Well, they're in the best position they can bring about because they control the White House and the two houses of Congress, so they can pretty well do whatever they want to do. This is not, I think, the way the Democrats would write a bill like this. However, it does represent a big step ahead from where we have been now, and so probably it'll win some Latino votes for the president.
The president is expected to deliver a speech on Wednesday outlining his vision for a permanent space station on the moon. And eventually man expedition to Mars.
Right.
Why do you think there's renewed interest now in expanding the space program?
Well, in the first place, because NASA's had a great success with those sensational pictures that they've taken with a robot on Mars. And secondly, I guess, because this president wants to show that he believes in this vision thing, which his father didn't quite carry out.
These expeditions to the moon and Mars are, I guess, projected by some sources to cost at least $500 billion. Will there be voices in the Congress and elsewhere asking, how can we afford that?
Well, if this was something going to happen in the next fiscal year, you would have a great deal of trouble about that, because with a $500 billion deficit right now, I think that might happen. But the thing is, people are just talking. These are politicians talking about some nice thing to do 1 or 10 years from now.
Let's turn to politics, of course, this week, because we're not that far away from the Iowa caucuses.
I thought we were talking politics.
Well, all right, the kind. Well, I think I'm not going to rise to that bait. Howard Dean picked up a strategic endorsement this week in Iowa from Senator Tom Harkin. There, caucuses are scheduled for the 19th. After 7 debates, has anything recently changed, as you see it, the status of the candidates?
Well, I think over a long period, if you can remember, long, long, long ago, when the primary season just got underway and everybody said, well, it's going to be John Kerry, that began to slip after a while. And now it is Howard Dean who seems to be the front runner. And the front runner is always somebody that everybody wants to make a rear runner and catch up with. So now there appears to be a certain amount of increased interest in General Wesley, the retired General Wesley Clark, mm-hmm. not in Iowa, but he may be able to show what he can do in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm. And our reporters on the trail also say that Senator Kerry of Massachusetts is getting more attention.
well, not the kind of attention that people want to have, as the attention of those who are saying, you know, I've changed my mind about Senator Kerry.
I think they meant more people were coming out for his rallies, because I believe the meaning I abstracted. But we'll go with your interpretation, too. I want to ask you about Homeland Security. The United States has already started fingerprinting and photographing foreign visitors who carry visas as they pass through customs in a number of airports around the country. How do you react to this idea, this practice?
Well, the only way to react, somebody must think it's an important thing to do. If you get the photos and fingerprints of every person coming in as a foreigner, as a visa, presumably, at some point, maybe you'll catch somebody who with a criminal record and something. It hasn't happened yet. And this is something that you do and you try, and maybe it'll turn out to be helpful, and maybe it won't. But to me, it suggests the kind of world that we live in today. We are a besieged society. Whether it be fingerprints, whether it be putting people in jail and leaving them there without trial, all the rest of it, we are acting at this great society, and all of these things are, in a sense, for any al-Qaeda out there, is already a rather small advance to make this country look so scared. And this is another evidence of the way a besieged society acts.
The color-coded terror alert system was lowered a notch on Friday from orange to yellow. Is it difficult to get people to remain vigilant through the various color codings?
Yes, it is, because it's very difficult for them to know concretely what it is they're supposed to do in response to this color or that color. If you say that yellow, be alert, watch, it's a real thing and something could happen, and be careful and look around you, and then you say orange, be more careful, that is nothing which can translate itself to anything concrete that a person can really deal with. So just tell them, you know, there are bad people out there and they're planning bad things, and if you see funny things happening, take notice. I'm not sure that the colors add anything.
Mm-hmm. Scheduled release of detainees in Iraq went awry this week. Only about 80 were released in this scene of chaos, I think we can fairly say, along the middle of a busy highway. What went wrong as you read it?
Well, a lot of people, I guess, wish they knew. It was exactly the word you use, chaos. It was a really chaos. Here was Bremer, the administrator, saying he was going to start releasing people that they felt they could release from who had been arrested and thrown into prisons. And now they were going to be released. How many? Well, maybe a couple of hundred. And next thing you knew, all the relatives of these people turned out. There were no names. And so everybody who has a detainee somewhere in prison came out to wait for it to happen. Didn't quite happen. Or at least suddenly a couple of trucks came through with some people on the trucks, leaving them in the middle of a very busy highway. I mean, I cannot imagine what went wrong. But clearly something, I think when I was in the Army, we used the word snafu.
Oh, and that, you know, that stands for...
No. Don't tell.
All right. Leaders of India and Pakistan shook hands this week, had a summit meeting, said they're going to be getting together on the status of Kashmir. Would seem to be a significant step towards diffusing this tension.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that this is a handshake that made the whole world a little safer. I mean, here we had two countries hating each other, quarreling over Kashmir, here we had an attack on the Indian parliament, all these terrible things happening. And here were the only two antagonists now that faced each other with nuclear weapons. And you sort of wonder, is this the way the world is going to go with nuclear weapons flying between India and Pakistan? And so they shook hands, and let's settle this once and for all. And all of a sudden, I breathe a little easier.
Dan Shore, thanks very much.
Sure thing.